Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now that we are in formal session the UK would like to take the opportunity to highlight the proposals that the UK has put before the GGE. Firstly, the joint proposal that we have co-sponsored with the USA, Canada, Australia, Japan and the Republic of Korea. The UK believes that this proposal reflects the valuable work that the group has done, but also provides clear clarity and direction as to how this group may take its work forward. We would therefore like to support the comments on that proposal made earlier by a distinguished colleague from the United States. But the UK would also specifically like to draw out some important features of the joint paper. It is important to recall that, as the guiding principles state, that international humanitarian law continues to fully apply to all weapon systems, including the potential development and use of lethal autonomous weapon systems. Our joint paper therefore proposes to focus on the strengthening of the implementation of international humanitarian law and responsible behaviours in relation to laws. By focusing on this, this group would be able to make progress in terms of which characteristics are inherently prohibited and which might require understanding and regulation in effect to ensure that behaviours and outcomes are compliant with the principles of IHL, including in particular the principles of distinction and proportionality and the requirements of precaution in attack. The joint paper, among other things, offers a basis for further international discussion and elaboration of the principles and good practices. This morning, we have heard a number of delegations speak of their proposals as to the form of such elaboration. And we have a number of proposals before us that give us suggested forms and have heard further calls for prohibition. Here, the UK would like to turn to our own proposal. As the UK has said many times in this group, we believe that existing international humanitarian law and the existing regulatory framework for the development, procurement and use of weapon systems is the suitable framework for the regulation of new capabilities. This group needs to cut across the carefully balanced principles of IHL, which focus on methods of use and effect. The UK would reiterate that autonomous function is not a simple or singular concept in relation to weapon systems. Entirely different weapon systems may have autonomous functions, and autonomous function is a matter of degree. Therefore, the UK position is that this group must increase understanding and agreement of the ways in which systems with autonomy can be developed and used ethically, responsibly, and in compliance with international humanitarian law. Our paper proposes the elaboration of a document or manual that would constitute an authoritative and comprehensive statement of the application of international humanitarian law and agreed best practice. We envisage that this document might include examples that illustrate what good practice is or what it might look like, and most importantly, would provide a clear framework for the operationalisation of the guiding principles and actionable guidance for policy, technical and military stakeholders. It would also encourage the adoption of national regulations designed to strengthen respect for international humanitarian law. We want to drive behaviours in use and form consensus around considerations in development that address the challenges of autonomy in context. Our proposal does not attempt to suggest conclusions or add detail beyond each area. That would be for high contracting parties to discuss and agree to. The proposal would therefore be viewed as a handrail to help guide further discussions in the most fruitful way possible. With that in mind, the paper headings, questions and potential examples within the annex of the proposal should not be viewed as exhaustive or definitive. We submit this to the GGE in the hope that together we can work together to add the detail. I would like to briefly outline the aspects included within the annex of our paper. There would be a purpose section which would contain a statement as to the aims of the document, how it has been developed and the expected use that states would make of the contents. There would be a capping section to introduce international humanitarian law and its overall applicability, which could involve a clear summary of applicable law and explanation of accountability. We envisage a section on political control, national policies and direction, which could detail good practice for decisions on the overall requirement for autonomy in systems. That would revolve around decisions made by politicians, policymakers, and military leadership. There'd be a section on research and development, which would focus on capability planning and how the activities conducted to research, develop, and acquire capability can enable or prevent compliance with international humanitarian law. A section on testing and evaluation, which could set out what might be involved in the robust assessments of a system and what practices help to provide confidence in its performance within the intended context of its use. Acknowledging the through-life process, activities within this section would focus on compliance with requirements documents and legal, regulation and certification requirements. Linked to the previous section on training and evaluation, there would be a section on training and planning. It's usually set out how states might best ensure a system is understood by those who would operate it. A section on deployment and use. This could set out agreements and good practices for how operators and commanders can ensure compliance with international humanitarian law when using systems with autonomy in operation. We suggest that there should be a section that focuses on what should happen after a system has been used. Was it used and operated as intended, and was accountability possible? Finally, the issue of human-machine interaction would be an overarching theme throughout the whole document. The document would need to address the level of human involvement, or what level of human involvement is necessary to achieve the ends of international humanitarian law. It is also important to emphasise that the UK envisages that the proposed document should be owned and completed by this group. It should be a reflection of the agreements of those parties who sit within this group. We offer some suggestions on how we may take this forward, but once again, that would be for this group to decide. As we have said before, the UK proposal does not in any way exclude other proposals brought by GGE members from being taken forward. In fact, we would suggest that the consensus built in this exercise would be invaluable in properly framing any additional measures, including suggestions around binding measures. I'd like to thank all those states that have already made positive comments on the UK proposal, and I welcome further comments or questions which the UK delegation stands ready to discuss further. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished